Well, we're in our series right now about hearing God. We're going to pray and we're going to ask that we would hear God this morning. Pray with me. Father, I just thank you that you speak and that your words are spirit and life. Lord, you always know what we need. And so, Father, I ask you in the mighty name of Jesus that you would speak to our hearts today and that we would have ears to hear. Help us to hear, Lord. Oh, Father, help us to learn to hear each and every day in our personal lives that we might truly walk and talk with you and fulfill all that you have for us in this world. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. He speaks. He wants to speak to us. He wants us to hear him. But I have found that most of the time the Lord does not yell and he does not force his way into our lives. It is up to us to seek him, to draw near to him, and he will draw near to us. Last week, the focus of the message was about our relationship with the Lord. And if we want to hear God, we need to understand that there is no quick fix. He is not our heavenly Google. No, hearing God comes out of a personal relationship with him. The closer that we get to him, the more that we know his voice and are able to hear him clearly. And I just want to say that the Christian life is not about a religion. It's not just about professing certain beliefs and doing certain things, not doing certain things. It is all about an ongoing, not once upon a time, but an ongoing relationship with the Lord. And a relationship, a close relationship, we'll put it that way. See, you may have a relationship with somebody you hadn't seen in 10 years, but let me tell you something. A really close, intimate relationship requires time. We need to seek him. Not just to seek what he can do for us, not just to bring our wants to him, but simply to seek him, to draw near to him. Our time with the Lord should be more about our love for him. That's the most important thing, right? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our time with the Lord should be more about our love for him than it is about seeking our wants. No, we truly want him. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 in the NIV, the psalmist says this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Here the psalmist expresses this passion, this desire for the Lord. My soul pants for God. He's longing for God, wanting to meet with the Lord. And I'm telling you, it is through that kind of closeness that we learn to hear and know his voice. There really is no quick fix. And in this series, I realize that it seems like we're moving kind of slow. But I'm just telling you, we got to get the right perspective on this, that what we really want is a close relationship with a God who speaks into our lives. This shouldn't be such a hard thing, church, as it is for most of the body of Christ. And here's a part of the big problem and why it's such a hard thing, is because they focus on the hearing from God instead of focusing on the relationship. And so this morning, before we move any further, I just want us to get that down inside of us, that it is all about a relationship with him. It's all about that closeness with him, that we are longing for him. And through that closeness and that relationship, we hear and we know His voice. And if we want to live in all that He has for us, if we want victory in certain areas of our lives, if we want to do the things that He wants us to do, we need to hear what He's saying. How much trouble, how much heartache would we be spared if we heard from God in situations? How much victory, how much blessing would come in our life if we really heard from God? But the most important thing is the relationship, the closeness, that as we draw near to Him and we hear His voice, our relationship with Him takes a totally different dynamic when it's not just you doing all the talking, but it is God speaking to you. What we really need is to hear God speak to us. What we really need, what you really need in your life. You know what? You might think you need a lot of things. Let me tell you something. What you really need is to hear God speak. Let me just tell you a little story. Back before the days of internet, in fact, it was 1985. There was a service one of the local hospitals provided. I think there's a similar service at some today, but back then it was rather simple and personal. There was a service that you could call and talk to a nurse just in like a minute or so without a bunch of questions and insurance and blah, blah, blah. You could just call and ask a simple question just in a moment or so. And one night we were, you know, just having a typical evening with me and Carmen and Jonathan. I don't think Leslie wasn't even there yet. It was just me and Carmen and Jonathan. And little Jonathan was crawling along on the floor, and we were busy with other things, and all of a sudden, he began to cry and scream terrible, just awful. And I ran, and I picked him up, and I saw a scorpion running across the floor. Well, I stomped that scorpion 3 or 4 times, and I put Jonathan on his back, and I started looking for a sting, and right there above his upper lip, I saw a little mark, a little sting there. And so I called that number to talk to a nurse. In just a minute or so, I was talking to the nurse and told her what happened, and she said, "This is what you do. You get meat tenderizer, and you make a paste with some water, and you put that on there." Well, it sounded kind of weird to me, but I did what she said, and within about 30 minutes, we couldn't even find where the sting was. Isn't it nice to be able to talk to somebody that has the answers, that knows what to do? I mean, some of you may have this, but wouldn't it be nice to have a doctor in the family that you can call them up anytime, night or day, or a lawyer in the family that you need some advice, you know, you get it for free, right? But or a mechanic that you can ask some questions and, you know, get answers and know that it's right. What a great thing to be able to get answers that way. But I got to tell you something. There are a lot of things in life, situations that we deal with, sometimes things every day that we deal with, where we need answers. And those situations in life can be far-reaching and impact years down the road in our life. It's so important how valuable it is to be able to hear God and know what God wants us to do. I mean, there's so many situations in life where even right now, it looks like it's this way, but we can't see down the road like the Lord can. And so hearing from God is so powerful. It changes everything when you hear from God. After Jesus used Simon Peter's boat to teach from, He told Simon Peter, He said, "Take your boat out into the deep and drop your nets down." And Peter says, "Lord, we've fished all night and caught nothing." Now for a fisherman, that's a bad night. I mean, when you work hard all night long and you didn't get paid, you didn't catch nothing, That we're not talking about amateurs on a fishing trip. We're talking about guys trying to make a living. And they fished all night and made nothing, had nothing to show for it. But he says this to Jesus. He says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." He lets down the net. And the net is so full of fish that he calls for his partners to bring their boat as well. They fill both boats until they begin to sink. Worst night of fishing turns into the best morning of fishing ever. They fill both boats until they began to sink. That's a lot of fish. Peter had a word. Jesus spoke to him, let down the nets, and Peter said, "At your word, I will let down the nets." Now, I got some news for you this morning. That doesn't mean that if you push your boat out into the deep and let down your net, that you're going to catch so many fish. That's not what it means to us. And I want you to understand what's happening here. You see, in the Greek text, in the original text, the word for word there is rhema. There's two words that are translated as word. One of them is rhema, and one of them is logos. You need to understand that there is the logos, the word of God. It is the revelation of God's will to us. And I'm trying to just kind of simplify this morning and not make this a long explanation. But when we read the word of God, listen, it's all for us. Every bit of it reveals the will of God. Every bit of it speaks to us. But there's also the rhema word, which is a spoken word. It is when God speaks to you personally. And you see, that's what happened to Peter that day. The Lord Jesus spoke that to Peter. Now, certainly we can apply the truth in our life, but you need to understand that when he spoke to Peter about letting down the net, that was a rhema word for Peter. God spoke to him. And I want you to understand that when it comes to everyday life, you're trying to raise a family, you're trying to handle your finances, trying to have a good marriage, whatever it might be, trying to minister, be used of God. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you, it changes everything. Takes the lid off. You see, we can live by the written will of God. Every day we should be doing what the Scripture says. Every day we should build our lives upon His Word. But sometimes, you know, we can just toil and toil and toil. We can work all night, and yet it doesn't seem like we're getting a breakthrough. But then when God speaks to you and gives you a word, everything changes. Oh, how we need to hear from God. We often quote Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And by the way, the word in this verse is rhema. See, when we read how the Lord promised Abraham a son in his old age, that does not mean that we then can take that scripture and say, well, I'm going to have a son when I'm 100. Now see, people do this kind of silly stuff with the Bible, and you just need to understand that does not necessarily mean you're going to have a son when you're 100. God spoke a word to Abraham. Now, if God speaks a word to you that you're going to have a child at 100, you're going to have a child at 100. See, when God speaks to you, that brings faith. Abraham knew that it was going to happen because God spoke it to him. And when God speaks to you, and many times he takes the logos, he takes the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us through that Word, and that Word comes alive to us. But oftentimes in life, it is that Rhema Word, it is God speaking to us that helps us to know the right way to go, the right choice to make. I know in ministry, you can work and work and work and not catch anything. But when we get one word from God, it can change everything. It's going to be good. When you get a word from God, it's always going to be good when you do what God says. Now, I want you to understand something. This is not just for a spiritual elite. There will always be those that God speaks to and uses in a special way. God has always chosen leaders to speak to and to speak through. But you need to understand this, though, that He wants to speak to every one of us. He says, "My sheep know my voice," and that includes all of us. We talked about how Moses heard the voice of God, but did you know that the people didn't want God to speak to them? In fact, it's Exodus 20 and 19, they said to Moses, "You speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die." Now listen, they were afraid. That's how real God was to them. They were afraid. I think there's still a lot of this attitude that let's let the leader hear from God and you just tell us what God says. Now, I don't think it's necessarily because of fear anymore, but I think for a lot of people, they just kind of have that mindset that, well, you know what? I'll just let the leader hear from God. I mean, if I got a question, I'll just ask the leader. I'll just listen to the leader. I want to tell you something. God wants to speak to you. And you need to desire that. You need to realize how important it is that you need God to speak to you. I mean, if you've got kids and you're going to raise godly children in this world, you need to hear from God. Yes, you need to do it according to the Scripture to raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times that you need God to speak some things to you that you're not going to know any other way. There's going to be times in this world when you're making financial decisions, you need to hear from God. Listen to the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 28 and 1. He says, "To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." You can hear this desperation, how he values God speaking to him. To him, it was the difference between life and death. He says, "Don't be silent, lest I be like one of those that goes down to the pit." You see, the psalmist knew how important it was that he hear God's voice. We got to know that. We got to value God's voice. We need to understand how critical it is for us to hear the voice of God. And you might say, "Hey, I've made it this far." Well, I want to tell you, you're missing out. Oh, how we need to hear His voice. We're going to go to Luke chapter 10, and this is a really important passage, so if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn there. It's Luke chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 38 through 42. It's a familiar story to many of you, but very powerful, and I think it'll really help us this morning. Luke chapter 10, we're going to read 38 through 42. "Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. One thing is needed. The NIV says, only one thing is needed. The Living Bible says, there's really only one thing worth being concerned about. Another translation says, only one thing is necessary. One thing is needed. You know, Jesus knew what he was talking about. Amen? For Jesus, hearing the voice of the Father was not optional. It was an absolute necessity. In fact, here's just one example where he talks about that in John 12, 49 through 50. It says, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Jesus said, I always do those things which please the Father. Jesus was in constant communication with his Father. What he said was what the Father told him to say. And I just want to remind you, Jesus is always our example. We need to hear God. Now, you know, you can't make the Lord speak to you, but you can put yourself in the place where you can hear him. That's what Mary did. She sat at his feet and heard his word. Martha didn't put herself in the place where she could hear his word. You got to make that choice. The one thing that I need every day is to sit at his feet and hear his word. The one thing that I really need is a word from God. A word from God can show you how to minister to somebody. A word from God can give you real peace in the midst of a storm. A word from God can get you to a healing. I'm just telling you, a word from God can change any situation. Sitting at his feet, for us, that is setting our focus, our attention upon him, to be attentive to him and to listen to him, turning away from all the distractions. Isn't it amazing how distracted Martha was with her dinner preparations? You know, she's busy getting dinner ready for Jesus. That sounds really good. And did you know that a lot of people have a lot of really good things that they're busy doing and not hearing from God? Not really getting in the place where they can hear God. I just got to tell you that when Jesus comes to your house and he sits down and he starts teaching, that you want to be there. You don't want to be in the kitchen cooking dinner when the creator of the universe is sitting in your den. Now, I know it's easy for us to be critical of Martha and to be judgmental of her. But I think a lot of us, if we'll look at ourselves a little deeper, we'll find ourselves doing the same thing, making the same mistake that Martha did, where we're so busy, we're so distracted with our great responsibilities and our own importance that we miss the one thing that we really need, what's really important, is to hear his word, to hear him speak to us. It's really interesting to me that Martha comes and she presents a request to Jesus. And to me, it is an analogy of someone coming to the Lord in prayer. And she says to Jesus, she says, "Lord, don't you care? You know, tell my sister to get in here and help me. Lord, don't you see what's going on here? Fix my husband. Lord, look how my kids are doing. Lord, you need to do something about my kids. My boss is not treating me right, Lord. Come on, God. Don't you see what's happening in my finances? Why don't you do something about this?" Do you know what Jesus' answer to her was? Now we read the long version of the answer was, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled. You're worried and troubled about many things. Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. Let me give you the short answer. Lord, don't you care? Look what's going on here. Make my sister help me." And Jesus said, "No." And we go to God with our requests and how he needs to do this. And, you know, to us it's very real. I'm in here doing all the work. I'm doing all this. They're not doing right. God, if you would fix this for me, if you would make them do right. And what we really need is to hear him. And here's my point. We've got to get to the place where we see how important, how powerful this is, that we need to hear from God. Jesus said, "One thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part." I'm telling you, you got to choose to hear from God. It has to be a priority for you. It has to be important to you. It has to be valuable to you. More than all your responsibilities, more than all of the distractions of life, you've got to choose that you want to hear from God. You want to sit at his feet and hear him. Troubled and worried. Such a trick of Satan. He gets us all worked up about all these things just to keep us from doing the one thing that we really need to do. Busy, busy, busy. I'm busy. I'm really busy. Busy is celebrated in our culture. Losers don't have anything to do. I'm busy. Did you know everybody says that? I'm busy. Well, I'm just so busy. I'm busy, 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 busy. Martha was busy. Didn't have time to sit down and listen to Jesus. She was busy. There is a devotional book that my mother bought for me years ago. She bought it in a garage sale, and it is my favorite devotional book, not only because my mother gave it to me, but because of the devotions in it. I just find them so rich and full. And God has spoken to me a number of times as I was reading that devotional book. But on one of the opening pages, it says this: "It is not much to give God a minute, but in these so-called busy times, a minute is better than no time at all." And then in one of the devotions, it says, "Man's popular excuse is, I'm so busy. The result is we forget our true source of strength. An old saint once said, if a man is so busy that he has no time for prayer, he is busier than God Almighty ever intended." Now here's the really interesting thing about this. It was copyrighted in 1931. It's not a new thing to be busy. You can always busy yourself to where you don't really have time to sit and wait for God to speak. It's amazing that it was written before all these electronic devices and that are supposed to save us time, but we all know that the truth is they take up time. I see these pictures of teenagers and even families sitting around the dinner table with their phones. They can't even talk to each other, much less talk to God. I'm preaching good right now, and y'all are really quiet. I'm just telling you, we busy ourselves up with the internet and the TV and a thousand other things, and you say, oh no, Pastor, I'm not doing any of that. I'm working two jobs. Well, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something that's more important than working two jobs. Hearing from God. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to work two jobs. I'm just saying you got to get your priorities right. There's one thing that is needed. You got to sit at His feet and hear His word. And oh, how that one word from Him can change everything. Choose to put yourself in the place where you can hear Him. We need a time and a place. Mary chose. You see, there was a time and a place where she could sit at the feet of Jesus, and she was there. Martha missed it. I'm going to go back to the psalm I read earlier. He said, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Now, I want you to understand, I know God is with us all the time. He lives in us by His Holy Spirit. I understand that. We still need times when we meet with God, times when we get alone with God, a time and a place where we meet with the Lord. We talked about how Moses spoke to God face to face as a man with his friend. Did you know that Moses took his tent and went outside the camp and set up his tent outside the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting, the tabernacle of meeting. It was the place where he went to meet with God. Now, you don't have to get a tent and set it up out in your backyard. That's not what I'm talking about. Listen, if that's what it takes for you to get home with God, we'll set one up. But I want you to understand, the man who spoke to God face to face as a man with his friend, he went out of his way to have a special place that he would go to meet with God. And God showed up. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses many other times and places. You know the story. He talked to him from a burning bush. But you see in the scripture how the Lord spoke to him many, many other times and places. But here's what we need to understand. If we want to hear God in the daily activities of our life, you see, we learn to know His voice in that quiet place where we go to meet with Him. We get alone with Him. And I'm telling you this morning, you need to have a time and a place that you meet with God. Now, it doesn't have to be the same time every day. And it doesn't even have to be the same place. But that usually works the best for people because we're kind of creatures of habit and routine. And if you do it the same time and the same place every day, you're more likely to do it. In fact, if you just leave it kind of random, you know how that goes. But the important thing is that you understand that if you want to hear God, it has to be a priority in your life. You have to decide, it is the one thing that I really need. And I'm willing to have a time and a place where I meet with God every day. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, when He's talking about prayer, that we should go to a private place. A secret place. And in that passage, the main focus of what he's saying is that our prayer should not just be something that we do for religious pride to look good in the eyes of men. But Jesus said, when you pray, go to a private place. A place. You need a place where you pray. It just needs to be part of your lifestyle. That there's a place where I go to pray. Now, Jesus went out early in the morning. Now, you don't have to have your time where you sit at the feet of Jesus early in the morning. It might work best for you after the kids are all in bed late at night. But I will tell you that for most people, early in the morning works best, and here's why. Less distractions. The further you get into the day, the more distractions that there are. The more things that will try to take your attention away from the Lord and get you busy, you end up being like Martha in the kitchen. You're just busy with all kinds of other things. And I just think how powerful it is when we follow his example and we have a time and a place that we go to meet with the Lord. Listen, don't be legalistic about it. It's not just a religious duty. It's not just some habit that we, you know, we just go through the motions. But we should treat it as quality time with the most important person in our life. And we all know what quality time is. It's kind of a thing today that you need quality time with your spouse to have a good relationship. You need quality time with your kids to have a good relationship with your kids. Listen, if you want to hear God, you need quality time with God. It's not about being religious. It is about a relationship. And you need that time where you get alone with the Lord and you tune out all of the distraction. You turn down all of the noise. You know, part of it's probably a little bit the age of my ears. But if I want to have a really serious, important conversation with somebody, I don't like to be in a crowded, loud restaurant. I want to be able to hear everything that's being said. And sometimes Carmen and I, we'll actually choose a restaurant not just because of the food, but because of it's quiet and we want to be able to talk. And I'm just telling you, you need to close out all the other voices. You need to be able to pull aside from everything else. Believe it or not, if you hear from God, you will actually survive not having your cell phone with you. If you hear from God, I'm just telling you, you can turn off the TV. I know people who think that if they didn't watch the 10 o'clock news, the world would fall apart. But they don't think it's important to hear from God. I'm telling you, we got to turn off all the noise, all the distractions, and decide that we're going to have a time and a place that it's really important to us. Jesus, our example, Mark 1:35 through 37. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you. Here is Jesus, the Savior of the world." He knew how important it was to go to a solitary place and pray. Luke 5:15 and 16 says, "The news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him, and he healed and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, that's where nobody else is, and prayed." He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. All the responsibility, all of the weight of that ministry of healing the sick, casting out demons, listen, all of that And yet Jesus knew that he had to get away to a lonely place and pray. If you are more spiritual than Jesus, then you can disregard this. But for the rest of us, we need a time and a place where we get alone with God and we talk to him and we listen for him to speak to us. It's amazing what happens when you get away from all the other voices. Starting back in the mid-80s, when I youth pastored at this church, we started taking our youth on a retreat every year in the fall. And we started something then that they still do today. And that is that on Saturday at some point, we would tell the youth, we don't want you to talk to anybody else. We don't want you to do anything else, but take your Bible and go and find a place by yourself and want you to read your Bible and pray. And when we come back together, we want you to share what the Lord showed you, what the Lord spoke to you, what God gave you. And every single time that we did that, we would have so many teenagers who for the very first time said, the Lord showed me this. God spoke this to me. Even those who were shy and would never hardly speak in front of the group got up and shared what God spoke to them. Now, why can't we do that all the time? We can. But here's the issue. When they go on that retreat, they leave behind all their electronic devices. They're not on the internet. They're not watching TV. They're not busy with all this other stuff. And you see, for all of us, if we'll pull away from all the busyness, if we'll turn off all the noise, all these other voices coming at us, I'm telling you, we can hear God. God will speak to us. Oh, how we need to hear him. You got to value hearing from God. You know, you can tell how important something is by what you're willing to invest in it. In fact, when you buy something, I mean, how valuable something is determined by what you're willing to pay for it. And I'm just telling you, if you really want to hear from God, you'll make it a priority. You'll be willing to do what it takes to hear. You got to value that. Matthew 13, 45 and 46, Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven, he says, it's like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I just want to make the point to you that, you see, having a relationship like that with King Jesus, that's worth everything. We need to know that's the one thing that we need in our life more than anything else. I read this story about a man and his wife who went on a ski trip. It was their very first time that they had gone skiing, and so they had 2.5 days that they were going to be on the slopes and be able to learn to ski. And so that was their goal, is that for this 2.5 days, they were going to learn to ski. Well, they happened to have friends that lived in Colorado, good friends that they didn't get to see much, and they called them and they said, hey, we just wanted you to know, we're here in Colorado. And their friend said, well, why don't you come up and see us? What was a 3-hour drive one way. So 6 hours round trip. And he knew that if he did that, they would miss a whole day of skiing. And so he just kind of jokingly says to his friend, he said, well, y'all are not 6-hour friends. His friends called back a little bit later and they said, hey, we're loading up the car. we're going to be there tomorrow night and take y'all out to dinner because y'all are six-hour friends to us. And here's the point of the story. If you really value hearing from God, you'll do what it takes to hear from Him. You'll spend the time. You'll be willing to put aside the distractions. It is a matter of priority. We got to decide how important it is to us to have that kind of relationship with God and to hear God that way. You know, whenever you talk about priorities, we usually think in terms of yes. We say, yes, God is first in my life. Amen? Anybody on board with that? Yes, God is first in my life. He's the most important thing in my life. Yes, we say yes to God. But I want you to understand this about priorities. You have to say no to a whole lot of things. Because what happens so often is that we say yes, yes, that's what I want. But then we don't say no to all of the things that try to distract us and pull us away. And I can assure you that if you decide you're going to have a time and a place where you get alone with God and you sit at His feet and you hear His word, I can assure you there are going to be all kinds of distractions that try to pull you away, and you're going to have to say no. I'm not just talking about the TV. I'm talking about there's going to be distractions from work and family and all kinds of important things. But you're going to have to protect that time where you sit at His feet. One evening, John Wesley went to dinner with one of the greatest writers of English literature. And after dinner, after they had finished eating, the man said, "Well, let's just put our legs under the table and have a time of conversation." And Wesley said, "I'm sorry, I have to go." This great author, he didn't understand. He said, "It's just 9 o'clock. Why are you going?" And Wesley says, "I have an appointment at 4 in the morning. He says, "At 4 o'clock? He said, "Yes, every morning of my life." The author said, "With whom?" And Wesley said, "With God." Here's this well-known author that just wants to hang out with Wesley. You're going to have to say no to some things. You're going to have to say no to some things. You want to hear God? You're going to have to say no to some things. Make the right choice. Mary chose that better part. And here's the wonderful thing. You see, when you make that choice, Jesus said it'll not be taken away from you. Oh, He's going to bless you. He's going to speak to you. You want to hear God? You need to know the one thing that you need is to hear God. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I thank You that You love us and that You want this kind of relationship with us. Will we not only talk to You, but we hear Your voice. I pray, Father, that day by day that we would grow in our relationship with You. Day by day, we would know Your voice better and better. And I pray, Father, for those that have never really felt like they've heard. I pray that this is a changing point. Lord, that's not going to stay that way. I pray, Father, that they're going to have a breakthrough. And in their heart, in their spirit, they're going to know that You are speaking to them. That You are moving and working in their life. Things are changing. And Father, I just thank You. Thank You, Father, that You don't leave us where we are. But You are always drawing us closer. And Lord, this morning, we just make that choice once again to draw near to You. Lord, to hear Your voice, to know You more. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. But as we dismiss this morning, listen. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, if there are some things that you know need to change, Maybe you're one of those people like Martha. You've just been so caught up with all your responsibilities. You've just been so busy. Just been so distracted. But you want to change. Come for prayer this morning. Let somebody pray with you. Some of you here this morning, you just haven't made it a real priority in your life. I want to challenge you to make a decision like Mary. Choose that good part. If God's dealing with your heart in any way, if you have any kind of prayer request this morning, you're welcome to come as we pray here at the front. So I'm going to dismiss you with the blessing this morning. If you need prayer, you come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.